It's so good to be back. There's so many stories I could tell you. We had such a great time. We just leaked Jesus from coast to coast. It was a lot of fun. And God was so great. It was great being with our grandkids. It's going to be tough being without them. But today's message continues on with the series that we're on, Be a Star. And the message today is no partiality. God does not show partiality. We are not to show partiality. And you know, what I've noticed, and I just want to be honest as a pastor, is once you become a lead pastor, you become part of a pastor's club. I mean that. Local pastors in the area know you're the lead pastor. You're the decision maker. You know, you're the person that controls the purse, you know. And so all of a sudden, lead pastors start hanging out with lead pastors. You know what I'm saying? And very quickly, if you're not careful, you get caught up into being around with people that can equally bless each other. You know what I'm saying? And what the Lord was sharing with me this week was, that's not the way he did ministry. And I'm making changes in my life. This is a huge transformational period within my life, because I'm making changes so that I start living my life the way Jesus lived his. Amen? He's my example, not another lead pastor, not a successful pastor of a mega church. Jesus is my example. And I want to live my life like Jesus did. I want to open my life up, not just to people that can reward me as I reward them, but to people that don't have the ability to reward me. Amen. And I've always done it to a point, but I feel like God in this season is drawing me into a deeper level of this, to where I'm really going to be open to people regardless. Now, it's not like I don't even know, unless someone hands me a check or something, I don't even know who gives what in this church. I really don't. I don't want to know. I don't really ask. I respect the tradition of giving, you know, to the apostles' feet. I respect that tradition, and I respect when that's done, and I honor that, and I bless it. But generally, I don't care. Generally, what I want to look at a person, I don't want to sit there and go, this is a big tither, this is a small tither. I'm just using you guys because I can. And I need to give more time to this person. And I've seen ministries do that. And financially, there are some smart reasons to do that. Amen? There are some smart reasons to do that. Because you honor the people that give the most, they kind of want that honor. They kind of desire that honor when they give a lot of money. But I don't honor people by how much they give. I honor people for how obedient they are in the Spirit, how much they want to be a part of what God is doing. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't serve two people. Now, I'm not saying that money isn't a blessing. It is a blessing, but it's a blessing as we use it according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I am all for prosperity. I'm all for people being successful. I don't believe that God calls people to be a failure. God calls you to be a success. He wants you to be successful. He wants to train you to be a success. If you ever went through Proverbs, you'd know that God speaks a lot about money in Proverbs. He speaks a lot about wealth. He speaks about how to gain it. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to have more than enough. But it's how we use it that determines who we are. Amen? Because the reflection of how we use money reflects on where our heart is. So when I started doing this, no partiality, I said, who's the least in our present society? Who can we help that cannot return the favor? Who did Jesus help? And what can we do to reach those in need? And I love this story. It's the white throne judgment. Jesus is there in Matthew 25, 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations. Think about that. We're all going to be gathered in front of his throne. Think about that. We're all going to be gathered together. We're just going to be going like, oh, I wonder who's getting in, who's not, you know? We're all going to be gathered right there in front of him. All the nations, it says. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And I know which one I want to be. And he will place the sheep on his right. It's always good to be on the right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, You who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And I was naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And then he will, and when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Wow. You see, sometimes people are looking for this, and there's nothing wrong with this. There's different parts of your walk with the Lord, but we're looking for this deeper relationship with Jesus. And it's like, if I just go and spend time with Jesus, you know, all the time, that's what's going to make that relationship deep. What I've come to learn in my own walk, it's not so much that. That's an important part, but it's how much we serve his desires of his heart, serve the poor, serve the sick, serve those that are in prison. How much are we really, really serving those others? Because it's in the serving, the obedience to his teachings that we meet Jesus. That's when we really meet Jesus. It's when you're witnessing to a drug addict on the street. It's when you're going to someone's house and you're bringing boxes of food. It's when you do a wow jam. It's when you do the field of faith. It's when you go somewhere and support a ministry like the Father's Heart. It's these type of things. When you're there and you make yourself available to serve those that can't repay you. Amen? He could have just said to a brother or sister, but instead he made a point to mention the least of these. He could have just said, whenever you did to a brother or sister, that's cool. But he made a point. He said, look, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Now you see, sometimes people come in church and they're needy and they need things. And we have to be wise how we help them, right? You can't just like, oh, anything you want. We have to be wise, but at the same time, we have to not to harden our heart. We have to be able to help people. And God's given me great strategies. Like I go out there and a drunk says, give me some money. I say, let's go get lunch. See what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, it takes a lot more of your time. Yeah, it does. But I know the money's getting spent well, and I get a chance to witness to him, and he can't go anywhere. It's a great combination. So... So here's the scripture that this is really all based on. That was just kind of set at the fact that Jesus looks at everyone. There's no partiality, not whether they have money or they don't have money. But in Luke 14, 12 through 14, it says this. And he said to the man who invited him, he had gone to this banquet, this meal. When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. See, this is the heart of God. And you know, there's all these messages out there, and I love them. They're in prosperity, and they're like, give to my ministry, and I have the gift to make sure you prosper and all this other stuff. You know what? God's the one who prospers. And he prospers when you do his will. Not when you follow some person, some man or woman, but when you follow Jesus. Jesus will make sure that you never go hungry if you obey and follow him. Amen? I want to tell you, there's always a place for those who are willing to lay down their lives for the poor, the sick, the lame, for the ones that can't repay you. Amen. Now we have people come in this church and they have needs and they can't repay you. Be generous. Be kind. Have the heart of God. Jesus didn't just heal the rich. He healed what? Everyone, including the rich. And when the rich man came to him and said, what can I do? I love God with all my heart, soul, and strength all my days. I love my neighbors. And Jesus said, give your riches away to the poor. And he just turned around. He couldn't do it. See, God's not going to always test you to give everything away. That's not how it works. But he's going to test you. He's going to see if you're willing to give to people that aren't able to give back to you. What I love about what Pastor Clayton's doing here, I'm so glad that he's decided to stay a couple more months with us, is that he gives to everyone equally. And I love this man. I'm sorry for bragging on you, brother, but I love you so much. And I just love your heart. I love what you're doing. And you leak Jesus wherever you go. You're awesome. And your men, the men that are with you, are awesome. And I want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Armando, everyone, V, everybody, Aaron, everyone, Jason, I see you all. And I know there's more. I'm missing names here, but whoever you are, I just want you to know that God is using you mightily in our community, because the churches are shrinking by 3% every year. That's a statistic that's all through America. Suicide rates are tripled since 2016. I didn't know that. Tripled. Shootings. Doesn't it seem like there's shootings every week? I remember when it was a postman every 3 years. Now it's like all the time people are killing people. The farther this country gets away from God, the more murder will happen. And while I'm not speaking on gun rights or anything, guns aren't the issue. Guns aren't the issue. I could kill us if we have them or didn't have them, whatever. That's not my issue. They're not the issue. People will take cars and drive them into crowds. I mean, when people lose hope, when they have no vision for the future, then they do radical things. When you don't know there's an enemy out there who's trying to turn you into a murderous, killing thug, then you have no defense against it. It's like fighting one of the stealth aircraft the Air Force has made, right? One of the F-22, the F-35. You can't even see him coming. So people that aren't aware of the fact that the devil is alive and well on earth, they're not prepared to fight him. They're not prepared to resist him. And so as they live their life, they start giving in to those dark thoughts. They start giving in. Now, everyone has dark thoughts. Everyone comes and the enemy comes and brings things and tries to seed it in your life. But if you know who he is, you say, no way, devil. I ain't biting on that sandwich. I ain't going there. You see what I'm saying? And that's not who I am. You see, you learn your identity. You learn who you are. But these people don't know who they are. So when the dark thoughts come, they start going, huh. And pretty soon that thing starts feeding in them. It starts eating in them. They start giving in to one lie after the other. Like, what does it really matter if there's not a God and there's no accountability? I can do whatever I want. Might as well make a big splash in the end here. And that's what these guys are doing. It's because they've lost hope. They have no vision. They have no knowledge of God. My people are destroyed for a lack of a vision, for knowledge, for understanding of the things of God. And people are being destroyed in America every day. And if you want to know why it's happening, it's because they don't know what's getting them. It's like having a disease and not knowing how to get rid of it. They start listening to the darkness and the lies, and they don't know how to get away from it. They start actually glorifying it and thinking, I'll be famous because I killed a bunch of people. It's just so horrible out there. And it's not getting better. And none of the politicians, I don't care what side of the stream you're on, none of the politicians have got all the answers. Jesus is the only one that has the answer. Now, as you know, in this church, we stay away from politics. We're about Jesus. If you want to know what Firepoint's about, it's about Jesus. I don't want to get into your politics. If you got them, great. We got people on both sides of the aisle here. I'm fine with that. Just serve Jesus. My thing is this. Jesus is going to figure it all out in you. He's going to get you where you need to go. So we don't need to go there. What we need to do is stay focused on Jesus and keep following him. Amen? So what is religion then? What is Christianity? Oh, wait a minute. I had something here. I had this quote, heavenly rewards. I want you to see this quote. This person that quoted this is amazing. I don't know who he is. Heavenly rewards are measured in what only God can repay. Anonymous, me. So who do you invite to meals? Where is your heart? Who do you open your home to? Who do you allow your kindness and generosity to go to? Is it people that can repay you, or is it people that can't repay you? Who is it that you spend your time with? See, this is speaking to my heart. I'm preaching to myself here. It is a time for some of us to step out of our comfort zones and reach those that have no way of returning the favor. This is how we reach the world, because the world doesn't do this. You know, when you're in high school, right? When you're in high school, people do this all the time. When you're in high school, it's like, okay, so people are ranked 1 from 10 in the way they look, how good they look, right? So like 10s hang out with 10s, 9s hang out with 9s. I was like a 3, so I hung out with 3s. But it's whatever you are, right? You hang out with the people that's kind of, and sometimes, you know, like a 7 might date a 5, or there might be a little bit of a stretch in there because they see something. But generally speaking, people stay in their categories. People do that financially too. Rich people don't go around hanging with, why? Because, oh, you can't pay your bill today. See, it's a constant drain on there's a constant demand on their money. So they hang around with people that don't have any demands. See what I'm saying? Because they've hardened their heart. Because they know what money means more to them than the people they run into on a daily basis. See what I'm saying? And we can't ever be like that. We can't allow that to be established in our hearts. We have to be generous to everyone. Now, we have to be wise, right? There's some money that's for seeding, and there's some money that's for eating, right? I should say this. There's some seeds that are meant for sowing, and there's some for making bread. You have to know what your bread is, right? You don't give away your rent money unless you're sure God is asking you to give away your rent money, right? He may challenge you that once in a while, but you don't do that on a daily basis. You have to be wise, but you know what? We also have to be generous, and we have to walk around and be open to whatever God wants to do. Amen? And we can't just live in our safe little house, and I don't want to interact with those people because they may want something from me. How many times did we go on this trip and people walked up to us at a gas station and said, hey, man, you got a dollar? I just need, you know, a Coke or a piece of bread or whatever. You know, and I'm pretty easy to tap on. So, you know, but there's so much need out there. The homeless population has grown to 60,000 in LA. You just can't give everything away. That's not wisdom. But you have to know what's seed money and what's bread money. And make sure you keep that separate, okay? And then always keep a little seed bread around. It's a little seed money in your pocket so that you can give. Because here's my philosophy about giving. I'm like one of those guys, when I go through the check stand, they ask for like $3. I always give. I'm like, I'm going to give every chance that I can give because I know that that's an eternal reward. But I also make sure it's not my bread money. It's only my seed money. Me and Jeannie have positioned our lives where we don't need a lot. We have a small house. We're very happy in it. We have positioned ourselves purposely, financially, to be in a place where we can be generous. That was a choice that we made in our lives, that we could be generous towards God and we could be generous towards others. Some people live their lives to the maximum that they can afford in their life, and they don't have any room to be generous. And listen to me, that's a choice. That's a choice. And there are consequences to choices. So position yourself to be in a place where you can be generous with others. It's a better lifestyle. It feels good to be generous. I love hitting that little button going, is it $1, $3, or $5? Oh, I feel like giving $5 today. Click. I love doing that. Drives my wife nuts sometimes. She won't let me carry cash But I love giving. I just love giving. And me and Jeannie are not very good with the whole birthday cards and all that kind of stuff, but we love to be generous with the people we're around. I love picking up a check out of meal, even though I can't afford it sometimes. I just love checking that. I bought more meals. I thought when I became pastor, everyone was going to start buying my meal. That's not the way it works. But I never let a pastor pick up a bill. I'd always pay for the bill. And so, unless they were like, we knew these really super rich pastors, but no, they would nevertheless pick up the bill. We're almost done here. It's a short message today. I'm getting back, getting in the swing of things. I love this where it says this in James. In James 2, 1 through 7, it says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes to your assembly or drives a Tesla or a Ferrari or a Bentley into your neighborhood, and a poor man in shabby clothes comes in, and you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say You sit here in a good place while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are you not the rich, the ones, are you not the rich, the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme in the honorable name by which you were called? So what he's saying is, especially back in the Jewish days in this time, there were a lot of rich, rich Jewish people in that area, and they had persecuted the church for many, many years, but then the church eventually came into a place where it was more established, and now these people were looking for honor within these places. They were looking for seats in this place. They were coming to Christ with the same mental attitude that they had when they were Jewish and serving money, and if you're blessed by God, you'll prosper, right? Do you know that a poor person can be blessed by God? Someone that you say is poor can be very prosperous in the things of God. Jesus never was rich. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have any place that I call home right now. You want to follow me? Of course, when you can make bread come out of nothing and fish, it's easier. Yeah. I'm hungry today, Lord. Yeah, Peter goes, go get that gold out of that fish's mouth. He goes, what's the odds of that? Come on. Go down over the lake. It's actually, I don't know if it was gold, but it was a coin for the temple tax. And half shekel or whatever it was, probably a full shekel because they had to pay for both of them. So he says, just go down the water, catch the first fish you see, catch them, and there'll be a coin in its mouth. Yeah, I mean, you can do that, you know. Oh, wait a minute, you can. Hey, I want to tell you something so that you understand this. When you start doing things God's way, all the cool things start happening. All the cool things start taking place. I want you to hear this. When you start doing what God wants, when you really are following the teachings of Jesus and putting and practicing them in your life, all the cool stuff starts happening. You start seeing miracles. You start seeing things take place. You know, it isn't that God doesn't want to do miracles in the church. It's that the church is too busy being the church and not being his truly devoted vessels. I'm not putting down any one church in the area. I don't ever mention other churches or preachers, but if I can possibly help it. But I will say this. Church has become comfortable in America. That's not the way it is in the rest of the world. I mean, you want to be a Christian in Syria? Really? You want to be a Christian? You know what one of the fastest churches growing right now is? The church in Iran. There's like a huge revival in Iran right now. That's awesome. But they could lose their lives. One shift in the winds, and they could be martyred for their beliefs. And their children and their families. See, we got it pretty easy here in America. The most I'll get is some atheist looking at me with disdain. How dare you mention that name? Have you ever noticed it's like you can mention any other pagan idol, god, whatever, and it's not, but when you mention the name of Jesus, it just riles everything up. That's why I like to go, Jesus is Lord! Because, you know, I was raised that way, bro. You go out there and you just shout it out and you just set the atmosphere right there, you know, bam! Jesus has just arrived in me. Right here. I'm a street preacher, bro. I love it. It's not that I like to make the devil mad, but I just don't care. I want you to understand, I just don't care if he gets mad. He's thrown everything at me already. You couldn't believe all the physical things I'm fighting at times. But you know what? It don't matter. He can't win. I'm going to live every moment of every day I'm supposed to live as long as I follow Jesus and do what he says. And I don't care about doctors, diagnosis, or anything else because they don't control me. Jesus controls this. You can't mess with this because this is his. You got that? We're almost done here, folks. I always say that every 10 minutes just to give you hope. Let me just tell you a little bit about Firepoint Church. We accept everyone that comes to Firepoint, regardless if they are rich or able to contribute, as long as they do not disrupt the order of the service. We've had individuals come in the past that disrupt the order of the service, and that we have to be careful of, because that's for the greater good of the community. But we do not ever reject somebody because of personal status. We do if they have hygiene problems. We do recommend they take a shower before they come to church. But, you know, generally speaking, everyone is welcome just as they are. You know, what are you going to do when someone comes in here and uses different pronouns? Are you going to be sitting there going, are you going to welcome them with a warm and generous heart and make them feel like they're home here? And let Jesus be God, and you just be the welcoming person that you're meant to be. Amen? We believe in the transformational power of God, but it only comes through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It doesn't come through us setting community standards and saying, you're not dressed right, you don't act right. As long as they don't get up here and knock things over during the service, you know, I'm pretty good with it. We're not attempting to make a community that only has people like ourselves in it. I just hate the way churches want everyone to be like everyone else. I want you to be like you. I like you. Thank God not everyone's like me. You know what I'm saying? Not only would that be boring, but you're not meant to be me. We all express a different part of Jesus. We all radiate a different part of Jesus. We all need to be who we are. Jesus had Jesus in the beginning. He decided to create you. And there's a reason for that. Because you radiate a certain part of Jesus that no one else can. And we need all that radiance in here. Amen? If we're going to be lights of the world, let's not just do it in one frequency. Write that one down, Jeannie. You can use it. Some churches are so safe that no one knew or need ever come to it. They're just so safe. It's like, ooh, we got Jesus, and they're just so closed. And they don't even realize they're closed. They think they're open. They think they're all right. But when you don't come in looking like them, you know it right away. You know you're not welcome there. You know what I'm saying? But I want to let you know everyone's welcome here. Listen, I don't care if they're confused about their gender. I don't care what walks through that door. They are welcome here. It doesn't mean we support everything they believe in. Heck, I don't even support everything I believe in. I'm still growing, bro. I haven't arrived. I hate churches. I don't want to live in a church where your purse is so safe that you can walk away and leave it there. If you want that church, it's down the road. This church, we got people coming in that aren't redeemed yet. We got people that haven't quite figured out the rules of the thing here. You better watch your church and your phone and your wallet when you're in this church. And that's okay, because that's the church you want to be in. You want to be in a church that is inviting people in. I knew when we made this change in Firepoint, I knew some people would leave, and that's okay. Because I'm going to do what the Lord said to do. I'm going after the lost. Me and Jeannie have dedicated the rest of our lives to going after the lost with everything that we are. We're going to back evangelists every time we can. And we're going to keep going after the lost. And we're not going to sit there and try to make them conform to us. We're going to ask them to be conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church has fallen asleep, bro. It's fallen asleep in the light. Jesus loves me. It's wonderful. Let's just all sing. Now let's go get people. I see dead people everywhere. And I don't want them going someplace that I don't go myself. Amen? If the power of transformation is not working in a church, it's time to change the church. That's my last statement. Listen to it. If the power of transformation, if people's lives are not being changed in your church, find another church. If you got the same 50 people in your church for the last 20 years, you're in the wrong church. I want messy Christianity. You know, people say they go, I want babies. You know what babies are? They're messy. They just got stuff drooling out every orifice of their body. But we still want them. We still celebrate them because we know they're going to grow up to something else. Why don't you believe that in the spirit? Why do you look at people and think that's their final place? You're the one preventing the transformation. You're the one holding those people back because you can't see Jesus in them. Start seeing what they can become, not who they are. Do you hear what I'm saying? Start calling forth the greater person they were called to be. And let the fire go. Let transformation shake the world. It's not about us sitting there judging people. I'm picking on someone that's awake. Let me find somebody. Hold on 1 second. But it's not about transforming, saying, Harut, you got to be just like me. Stop that. Don't cross your arms in church. What are you doing? It's about saying, Harut, man, you're awesome. I see Jesus in your life. And God is transforming you from glory to glory every day. That's what we got to say. Harut, that shirt, that's not a church shirt. Your button's a little too open on the top. Come on, man. Some woman comes in here in a shortcut dress. That's all you women can talk about. Did you see that woman? Oh, my God. Man, embrace her. Call out the greater woman in her. Amen. Speak life into her. Start loving the people that come through that door. If there's someone that comes in here and you don't know their name, except for Kim, of course, because, you know, that was earlier. But if there's someone that comes in that door and don't know, you find out their name. You know, we don't have greeters. Because every single one of you is a greeter. I want every single one of you to greet people you don't know. I give you permission to ask for people's names multiple times without being embarrassed. I need to. Obviously. Years later. So just ask each other's name. Don't let that be. I remember I was in church. You know, I just kind of avoid people. What was her name? Was it Bob, Tom, Jim, James? Man, just go up there, man. What's your name, bro? I love you. If I come up and call you bro, it's probably because I don't know your name right at that moment. All right. Hey, listen, Christianity is two things. It is real and it is powerful. And if it's not those two things, then we're doing the wrong thing being here today. You hear me online. Christianity is real. There is one way to God, Jesus Christ. No man comes unto the Father except through him. And we love everyone else that believes other things, but they don't know the goodness and the plan of God. It's not about your works. It's not about how good you are. It is about you hearing and knowing the plan of God and receiving the grace of God. And two, it's powerful. It will not leave you where you're at. It will not leave you in despair, depression, financial ruin. It will not leave you in sickness. It will bring you out. The power of God is in the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, God transforms lives. You notice I don't put a chair up here anymore. No more chairs. No more stuff in my hair. It's just going to go wherever it goes. My wife has decided that my wife has decided that God has answered her prayer. I don't want to look good. I'm just sick of being a stuck up, weird pastor person. I'm just like, come on, let's just live life and have fun and go out there and do the will of God. Let's go do the Wild Jam together. 2 weeks. Come on, let's go do that. Sign up today. Let's go do the Field of Faith. Let's go be there and be a part. It's 2 days of your life. 2 days of your life. We're not planning anything in November. We're not planning anything in October. I'm except for these two events. And after the 20th, nothing until the holidays. So just put the 2 days of work in. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for the power of your gospel. Father, we were all lost. We've all sinned. We've all lied one time in our life. We've all stolen something, God. We've all had murderous thoughts. We've all taken your name in vain. We've all done something, God, where we need your grace. If we get justice, God, that means separation from you forever. If we get mercy, that's good. But what we need is mercy doesn't transform, grace does. And so, Father, I thank you right now for sending your son to die in my place, because I wasn't worthy to die for myself, and neither is any other person on earth. It's only through your son, Jesus Christ, that we can be transformed and that we can be made perfect as Christ is perfect. It's only through your grace. If you're listening to me right now, I want to tell you there's no other way to God but through Jesus. Well, what happens to all the people that never hear gospel? God's got a plan for them. They're not without hope. There is a plan for them, and God knows how to deal with them. But you have heard the gospel today, that God sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what does it mean to believe on Jesus? If you believe on something, in the Hebrew mindset, you act on it. You do something about it. And Jesus said this, all you have to do is receive me as the Lord and your Savior, and you will be saved. You will be in a place where you will be with him forever after this life. But not just after this life, during this life, God and you will walk together. You can hear the voice of God. You can know the goodness of God, not in just the life to come, but in this life right now. Be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. Come to God's side. You do this by starting a simple prayer. That prayer doesn't save you all by itself, but it starts the process. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Say this prayer. Everyone say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you would send your only son to die in my place. I repent of all my sins, my wrong thoughts and actions, and I ask that your son, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for transforming my life and revealing Jesus to me on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that for the first time or made a significant recommitment, I'm going to ask for you to raise your hands as an act of faith to show that you meant that prayer. Heaven is watching. You want to know that you meant it. You're going to act on that belief. Count of three, raise them high. One, two, three. I see those hands. I see three, four, five hands up. Go ahead and put them down. Let's give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Stand up with me as we bring up the prayer team. It is good to be back home. It is good to be with my family. It is good to be with you. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Sign up for Wild Jam today. Sign up for Field of Faith if the Lord leads you. That would be awesome. And we will see you next time.